Tame and King.
All right, we'll discuss the depth of list very, very shortly. I've had a look at the best, bottom six, and the worst during the ad break, and we'll report back on that before 9 o'clock. Still to come, also AFL.com.au. Cal Toomey's going to join us, and the Friday agenda. If you want to get set to put something on the agenda with us, you can. But right now, it's been a big week for the Port Adelaide Football Club, and it's all thanks to In-Place Living Specialist Disability Accommodation Design for you. Their GM of football is Chris Davey. CD, thanks for your time.
No worries, Kane. How are you?
You play Friday night. Your captain rips it apart, plays the best game he's played at the club, and everything's going pretty well. But things took a turn since, and the following night it was revealed about the homophobic slur from Jeremy Finlayson. How do you think it's been handled from the AFL, and where do you sit as a result as a footy club?
Oh, look, we've said that we accept the penalty, and part of Jeremy taking responsibility for the incident itself was to make sure that whatever the penalty was that the AFL thought was appropriate was to be accepting that as well. I mean, I think it could have been done quicker. But overall, you know, we need to cop what is right in this situation. The AFL thinks that's 3 weeks.
Were you, and you've been pretty accepting of that publicly, and you haven't, you yourself, referenced Alistair Clarkson's suspension, but is that frustrating for you, I guess, the disparity for similar incidents?
I think, look, I don't think it does serve, you know, any real purpose to go back, but there's no doubt that you know, these should be dealt with in a similar way into the future. And I think that was largely what David Koch was trying to say on Jeremy's behalf. But, yeah, we know Jeremy shouldn't have put us in that situation. He did, and we accepted. And you know, I'd encourage everyone to try and move forward, despite the fact that, you know, this is a significant issue in society, and it needs to be cleaned up.
Mm. I was pretty strong on Monday about Jeremy, and we're all understanding of the challenges that he's facing, and we get that. But I sort of said, once you put your hand up and you cross the white line, you've got to represent your club and your teammates as best you can. I don't feel like he's done that consistently at times, CD. I think his body language at times is poor, and he can let that get the better of him. Have you addressed that with him as a club?
I mean, yeah, we have been, Kane, over a period of time. And as you say, again, without diminishing the issue and, you know, what Jeremy said, he has been living a really stressful life over the last couple of years. And that doesn't in any way suggest that this is okay. It's not. But, you know, we need to work with Jeremy to try and get the best out of him into the future. And, you know, dealing with what he is off field, you know, can't be easy. But, you know, we are after more consistency from Jeremy each week. Definitely. That we can't deny that. He started the season pretty well, albeit, you know, if Ollie Lord was still fit at the start of the year, he probably wouldn't have started in the team. But, yeah, that's where he's at now. He's going to be out for the next 3 weeks, and you know, it'll be a challenge for him to get back in, I'm sure. But we are looking for more consistency from Jeremy, and, you know, not just him, but a few others as well.
Chris, how do you think that Port Adelaide handled the whole situation with Jeremy? Did you think that time again you'd have done things a fair bit different?
Look, I'm not sure that's the case, David. I'm not really sure what else we could have done, to be honest. I mean, as is well documented now, Jeremy, you know, put his hand up at three-quarter time. Yeah, we're in a situation where we knew that this would be investigated. I mean, if I had my time again, I might probably work harder to get the AFL to do things more quickly. But overall, you know, I think, you know, the club's response has been to put its hand up and make sure that we accept that the issue itself was a significant one, and try and, you know, help the AFL with the framework of sorting the issue out.
Yeah, outside looking in, it felt to me like you went into a damage control in terms of the penalties for Jeremy rather than accepting that you're at the mercy now and throwing yourself at the mercy of the AFL regarding the penalty.
Yeah, look, I accept that you can have a position on that, David. I reject that wholeheartedly. You know, we did nothing other then put our hand up from minute one to suggest that was always going to be the case. Of course, we provide information and you know, feedback to the AFL in regard to their penalty. But mate, I'm happy to have that debate with you because I think you're totally wrong.
Okay, that's a good chat. The coaching succession plan, is it happening or not? We're getting mixed messaging with around this, and Ken's got a couple of years to go, and you're right in the firing line again this year. You want to put a line through that for us?
Well, I'm not sure I have to, in the sense of a large part of my role is to make sure that we have viable candidates internally to make sure that at any point in time, for whatever position it is within the club, that we've got people who we believe can step up. Now, yeah, I did note what Kane said earlier in the week, and again, without wanting to push back on you both, I think that you know my role in the club can do two things. You know, I can walk and chew gum at the same time, Kane. I can provide support to Ken as we have over as a club over a long period of time. Provide support to Ken to make sure that he has everything that he needs, but also I can turn my attention to what is next. We've done that, you know, multiple times in my time at the club with regard to our high performance staff. You know that, Kane. We've done that with our succession planning of our assistant coaches. We've done that with our SNFL coach. I don't know why this situation would be any different, where we need to make sure that, you know, at whatever point in time Ken goes, and that doesn't have to be in 2 years' time. Ken's contracted for the next 2 years. But if we continue to go, you know, well and take the next steps, then I don't think that that Ken will want to walk away. But equally, it's my role to make sure that we've got other candidates within the club to take over, and we make no bones about that.
Does it get awkward though if there is success? And my point was, look, there's a premiership up for grabs. You've just had an exceptional performance on a Friday night. Team's in a really good spot, and for whatever reason, we're once again talking about someone taking over from Ken when he's still got a long time to go in his contract. And then what happens to Josh if he has been guaranteed that job, if things go really well under Ken and you want to back him in again? I just think it creates a few problems for you.
Yeah, look, I accept that you have that perspective. There's a couple of things that I can't control. That is people talking about this, but I accept that it's a talking point. But look, you know, we're in a situation where, as I say, a large part of my role is thinking about the future. Ken is contracted for 2 years. He has had enormous support from our club at times where many of the people in the media think that we shouldn't have. Ken's contracted for the next 2 years. And the good thing that we will have internally is viable candidates to take over from Ken at whatever point that happens in the future.
So you have locked yourself in to whenever that time comes, that it'll be someone internally to take over from Ken. So if a Chris Scott was available, that's off the table because you're going to promote from within.
No, I don't think you listened to what I just said then, Kane. That's not the case. What we want is to have viable candidates internally. I don't really understand why that is, outside of the fact that it hasn't, you know, the obvious ones haven't worked previously. Every organisation who is worth its salt will be thinking about who can do what in situations that happen into the future. And Josh Carr is a fantastic assistant coach at the moment. I'm sure that he's going to be a fantastic senior coach into the future. But it's my responsibility, not just with Josh, but also with Chad and with Tyson Goldsack, to make sure that they continue to develop so that in the future our club has people who, you know, are developing, but also who are viable candidates for roles at our club down the track.
Yeah, the only reason I said that was because the report was that Josh had been guaranteed that job. And I know that hasn't come from the club. That was the report that I sat next to Caroline Wilson that she said. So if that was the case, then I guess you're limited to promote from external, but you're telling us and absolutely we'll take you at your word for that. Let's talk some footy, because Sam Powell-Pepper is back. Discuss Cozzy Pickett a bit this morning and his technique. Has Sam needed to have that chat about the way he's playing football in 2024 or not?
We've had a chat to Sam about his situation. I think we all, as much as Sam has been known as a let's say a hardish player. I mean, Sam hadn't been reported or suspended, for the the first 150 games of his career. So, you know, he is definitely going to have to, you know, contemplate what he does. But I don't think that there's going to be a major change. Clearly, you know, the situation that he put himself in the pre-season was something that we didn't want him to do. And I think that he, you know, would acknowledge when looking back that he did have a different choice to make there. And, you know, the game in 2024 requires players to make a different decision there. So, you know, our position at the time was that, you know, the suspension last year would have probably been 3 matches. The AFL, you know, set a benchmark here this year, which was 4 matches for that incident. And, you know, like we have with Jeremy, we accepted that one and you know, moved forward. I think that Sam is a type of player who's going to provide pressure in our forward line, and we need him to have a little bit of an edge, but clearly we don't want him to go over it.
Chris, it's been a great start to the season. In your position, in your role, you would have had, down on paper, some aspirations and some expectations for this group. And I know you don't have to let us in full book on what they are, but how are you seeing those in line with performance at the moment?
No, David, I think you're right. We're positive about our start right now. You know, we entered the season thinking that we had a better squad than we had last year. You know, we brought some players in, you know, none of which were, you know, known A-grade sort of players yet, but equally we felt like they would come in and, you know, solidify our group, I think is probably the best word to use. You bring in Ivan Soldo, who's desperate for a chance, who, you know, can help that midfield group. You bring in Brandon Zirk-Thatcher, who has probably been playing on players in the past that maybe he won't necessarily have to do with us. You bring Asava in, and suddenly, you know, our back seven looks, you know, a little bit more solid than what they did in 2023. So, you know, we're happy with, you know, our performances so far. You know, we felt like even our performance against Melbourne, albeit, you know, they obviously got done last night, but we felt like at that point, that game, you know, like Melbourne got a lot of plaudits out of it, and rightly so, but, you know, we thought we were in that game for a lot of it, and we felt like we could have won it. So, you know, beating Essendon the way we did last week was a fantastic, you know, block to add to the season so far.
The way that you're playing, clearly there's been a focus. Okay, but we're taking this on a little bit more. The aggression off halfback, the ability to take a risk, has definitely been a shift. What was the catalyst for that?
I think our coaches over the off season wanted to continue to be aggressive. That's the way that Ken says that he likes to play, and the other coaches really bought into that. You know, we feel like we've got some players in positions on the ground where we can exploit opposition, you know, that midfield group, the way that they can fight for the ball, you know, inside and then, you know, move outside quickly is something that we've got to continue to help to harness if we're going to really be good at the end of the season. So, you know, we've got to want to be aggressive. You know, the guys are keen to make sure we're using, you know, the quickest way to goal as much as we can and get the ball in reasonably quickly into our forward line.
You got to do things differently at the list management space when, you know, the likes of Gold Coast have got as many first picks as they've got in other clubs. You probably haven't been blessed with the academy and the father sons. There's been a link to player like Will Hayward during the week. He's a South Australian. Are you in a position to go again with your list, and do you have room to do something like that?
Yeah, I mean, we do. I think that's one thing that our club has been really good at, and Jason Cripps has done a good job with over time, is our salary cap. I think over the next couple of years, the reality is going to be, Kane, that most clubs are going to have money, and that's just based on, obviously, the CBA increasing. You know, it's going to be actually the quantum of the money that each team has got. I would expect to see more movement again at the end of the year, just as I say, on the basis that most clubs are going to have some money. But we think we're going to be well positioned financially to attack, you know, whether it be free agency or the trade table. I think, you know, for us, we're certainly looking at free agents. We have traded a number of our first round picks over time, albeit I know that the AFL would be open to us doing it again because of the fact that we bought, you know, Horn Francis in a couple of years ago, you know, at such a young age. But look, we'll have money to, you know, attack the off season. Right now, you know, we want to make sure that we're keeping our eye on attacking 2024 as well.
Hey, mate, it's been a big week for the club. The footy's going very well on the field. So good luck against Fremantle on Saturday night, and we always appreciate your time.
No, good on your time, David. Thank you.
On you, Chris.
One of the best in the business, Chris Davies, the Port Adelaide GM of football, discussing all the issues at the club. This week, in-place living, specialist disability accommodation, supporting independence, choice and control, inplaceliving.com.au. We're in the Kogan Mobile studio. Kogan Mobile's got you covered with 120 gigs for $120 to use across 12 months, kogan.com. It is clicking awesome. Chris Davies, our guest.